Food webs. We are going to look at what happens when we meddle with a food web. Now, you'll be pleased to know we do this all the time. We are in the period of time during which we have the greatest rate of extinction of species ever. As in, more species are dying out, are going extinct on pretty much a daily basis than has ever happened before in history or prehistory. And that includes big events like meteors wiping out 70% of life on Earth. We are in a time of unprecedented destruction of species, many of which we haven't even identified before we've managed to wipe them out. So it is worthwhile asking what actually does happen when we start messing around with the food web, because every single food web we look at, the apex predator, the predator above all other predators, is us. So if you start meddling with something, if you start burning down, if you start clearing your acacia trees, for example, and you rely on the various animal chains that stem from that particular thing, then we are in trouble. I believe the rate of extinction is the fastest now than it's ever been. Not the level of extinction, the rates of a number of species dying. And the reason for that is we have the greatest diversity of animal species ever. At the moment, and you know, these phases when you see, for example, the death of the dinosaurs, there aren't that many species compared to today. You haven't had that evolution. Will humans go extinct? Yeah, at some point. Hyper specialization is the problem. If I took you today and dumped you in a forest, how well would you survive? You wouldn't, because you rely on this environment. You're an urbanite. You rely on the urban environment. You have no skill set to enable you to survive unless you're supported by this very niche world. And that's what we mean by hyper-specialization, which is animals adapt to a very particular lifestyle or to a very particular environment. And when we take that environment away, or when we destroy, damage, or change that environment, the species that depend on them die out. And this has happened for sapien species. Yes, you're a Homo sapien, if you're wondering. But other species such as Neanderthal, which are pretty much the same as us in every way, shape and form, die out because they were hyper-specialized and they relied on an environment that disappeared. If you look at something like the Lepido child, which comes from Spain, it's a hybrid. So you can argue that they're very different to us, but the reality is they interbred with us, and we actually have, there have been some interesting studies that have come out in the last decade, we actually carry as a species a sizable portion of Neanderthal DNA. So before you go down the, well, Neanderthals were not the same as us argument, they're similar enough to us for them to be our common ancestor. They're similar enough to us for us to interbreed, and the genetic information shows we not only interbred, but we interbred on a massive scale. I think you can probably argue that even though there may be some nominal differences, they don't have reinforced rib cages, they are shorter and stouter, that is true. Even though there are some nominal differences, they are essentially the same species, but they die out. And they die out when phases of glaciation end, because they're hyper-specialists. They don't have the capacity to innovate enough to change environments. In fact, they don't have the capacity to innovate, which actually is a difference between them and us. So there we go. It doesn't matter. Hyper-specialization, the more species you have, the more niche they are, the more dependent they are on often very, very, very small environments. So let's have a look at this environment. This is the savanna. This is grassland, obviously, so you know where we're going to start here. You know what's going to be consumed. What's going to be consumed is going to come from grass, is going to come from trees, bushes, that sort of thing. That's going to be the very bottom of the food chain. And then that's going to be processed through largely insects. Think termites, those of you who've ever owned wooden furniture and know the horrors of that. Think dung beetles, and particularly think harvester ants, but also think grazing animals. Grazing animals, both big and small. Now, the secondary consumers and the tertiary consumers and the predators, they're all going to be linked back to a very small number of 10 generally mammalian grazing animals. So you could argue that for all of the larger mammals that we have in the savannah, mostly they're going to link back to a very small number, such as wildebeest, gazelles, impalas. They're going to link back to a very, very small number of fairly large primary consumers, as in mammals that are primary consumers. So you're probably getting the impression here, but if you start messing around with these classes of primary consumer, the large mammalian ones, you're probably going to be threatening a very large chunk of this food web, and you would be right.